Want to immerse yourself in sport and the stories of athletes from across the Pacific? Well, join me, Sam Wykes, alongside some of the most talented journalists and sports commentators from across the region for Fresh Off the Field. Each week, we'll also bring you interviews with Pacific athletes leaving their mark on the international stage and those aspiring to do the same. From cricket to netball, athletics to football, and everything in between. Listen to Fresh Off the Field on your favourite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neej and Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Nisan Bulubinaka, Marlon Lee, hello, Aketa, and welcome to Neej and Footy. My name is Sam Wykes, and we're going to get through all the latest news in the worlds of rugby union and rugby league from across the Pacific. And today we have a very special host because my Cook Island co has taken another day off. He's got better things to do. So I've brought in the big guns, one of the biggest names in rugby league in general and the NRLW. She's a future Hall of Famer in my eyes, a genuine leader and an all-round great person. Welcome to the show, Tiana Penatani-Gray.
Malo lele, Sammy. That was really nice of you. I appreciate the intro. Thank you, my guy. All those words are true.
Man, thank you so much for taking on the call and coming up here and hosting with me. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. I'm really excited to be here. I think this is my debut. On Nation Footy, actually.
It is a debut for yourself.
Appreciate you taking another sick day,
T, you have more sick days because we have the better T on with us. So this will be perfect. This will be a great episode. So make sure you hang around for this one. On the show, big news out of the NRL as well. Brian Toto, he's going to sign with the PNG Chiefs. So he joins his mate Jerome Luai. So we'll talk about that. Obviously, it was Indigenous round 23 of the NRL. We'll go through a little bit with the Rugby Union, with the Wallabies and Japan. And obviously, Ma'a Nonu has been named to play for the Sharks, not the Cronulla Sharks, the Durban Sharks in South Africa to take on the All Blacks. We'll cross over to Shelley Long to chat more NRLW news. And our guest for today, we did this one last week, pre-recorded, and she was kind enough to be able to give her some time before her game, actually. Shakira Baker-Fido, she plays for the Warriors, and fun fact, her dad's name is Elvis T. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. I'm really looking forward to listening to this one. She's a cool chick, Shakira.
Yeah, mate, she was amazing to chat with. Yeah, we pre-recorded this one, and dad's Elvis, her name's Shakira, and of course I had to ask her straight away, does she get the Shakira double all the time? As a first
what did
she up, say? Yeah, she goes, oh, I'm sick of it. All through school, but all round champion. So really appreciate her giving up her time. But massive show plan. Let's get into it.
Hello, my name is Conor McGregor. Hello, my name is Leha Wate, and I'm listening to Neej and Footy.
Yes, you're listening to Neej and Footy. And first up, Tiana, we are going to talk about PNG Chiefs, the Real Madrid of rugby league, I believe they are. They've just signed Brian Tottle for 3 years, so he joins his mate Jerome Luai.
Yeah.
Breaking news here. What did you make of this one?
Oh, this is exciting. This is a headline that's literally just come out moments ago. Brian Tottle, we were celebrating his 150th game milestone last week. He is the absolute pinnacle of the game. He's got four premierships, a wealth of knowledge and experience as, the modern-day winger and the modern-day outside back. I think he's one of those players that's really transformed the game in that sense, and they're just killing it with their signing. He's now their sixth signing alongside, you mentioned him, one of his good mates, Jerome Luai, AJ from the Rabbitohs, Connor Watson from the Roosters, Zach Lomax, who's been out of the game for a bit. So another strike outside back there. And then Matty Lees from the Super League. So they're really, I guess, getting their hands on all different areas of the game to try and unearth this talent and to bring their squad together. They're doing such a good job.
Man, honestly, when I just think about probably the type of people that they are recruiting there, to live in, so the quarters that they'll be living in PNG, you need big personalities to break up the routine.
Yeah.
If the people are missing home, you need people like Brian. You need big energy.
Cultural leaders. Yes.
So you're not wrong. And all the best to him and the Chiefs. It just feels like the Perth Bears. Oh, you forget they're even coming into the competition next year.
Next year, I know. And you know what, guys? It's the west coast of Australia. It is an awesome place to be.
It is a beautiful place to live.
You've done it. You've spent 8 years there. You know what it's like to live on the west coast. And it's funny because I think anyone that lives on the west coast loves to keep it a hidden gem from those from the east.
That is very true.
They do like to protect the west coast. So it's another great opportunity for players looking to, you know, take their game elsewhere, to be part of a foundation team. What an opportunity. But they're competing really hard against the PNG Chiefs at the moment.
I'm sure there's going to be more big signings to come for the PNG Chiefs, so we'll look out for that. But let's move over to some footy. Let's start with NRLW, actually. Current day player. Yeah, how's the competition going so far? The Sharkies.
Oh,
I know you're a competitor. You hate losing more than you love winning.
Oh, absolutely. So how
are you feeling?
Oh, we're in the trenches at the moment, Sammy.
I love the trenches.
But look, I think pressure is such a privilege, and it's something that I try and drive within this team. And look, it's been a really slow start for us. And on paper, we're a great team. We're just not clicking, and we're not, I guess, meeting the mark of our expectations in terms of performance. But that's not reflected inside the group, though. We're a really connected group, a solid group, and we are battling a lot of key injuries in key positions at the moment, which doesn't help. It's not an excuse because we're a next player up mentality, but for us, we're looking for our second win, and we're halfway through the year, which is rough.
How frustrating is it when you're putting in effort, hard work, everyone's preparing well, but you don't get the success that you want on game day, and you go, man, what are we doing wrong here? We're trying so hard, but what's happening?
It shines a spotlight on all the other elements of your program. When you win ugly and you win tight contests, you don't think about all those things that you're not under that much pressure, right? But if you're losing close games, or you're losing consecutive games, it then starts to put you in the pressure cooker, and then you're under the microscope in all areas of the game. So I guess in my experience, you've got to have all those bases covered, whether you're winning or whether you're losing.
Exactly.
And I think connection is a big thing for me personally as a player and a leader in this team, is not losing the group and trying to keep the team focused on the process through the week and trusting that the outcome will be there if we get things right. And if it's not, don't put your head down in the dumps and think it's the end of the world. So for us, hopefully we can dig our way out. It's been tough. But in saying that, the competition has been excellent. We've got the big two that are sitting at the top, the Roosters and the Broncos. We've got a couple of Smokies, the Titans, who have found their form finally, that are sitting third. The Warriors, who are absolutely killing it. They beat the Knights on the weekend, 22-14. Some superstar players in that lineup, but they look like they're fueled by culture and connection as well. And I'm loving watching them play.
I think, like, from the men's and the women's teams at the Warriors, it just seems seamless. There's a big connection around the big picture. So it doesn't feel like there's separation there, and it's coming through within their performances. So have you played against the Warriors yet?
Not yet.
No, you haven't yet. But what's impressed you from the Warriors' performances?
I think they've obviously got a very dominant middle pack. Anyone that watches and knows the game of rugby league, you've got to have go forward before you can unleash your strike out on the edges. You know, like, wingers can't win your games in that sense. Like, your middle pack has to be dominant. And I think they do that so well. They run through the middle of teams and they've got strike in the likes of Gail Broughton, Patricia Maliapo, Emanita Pukki, all these, you know, superstar Pacifica players that just play that Pacific flair. Like, they take their opportunities. They're not afraid, to take an opportunity. And then someone that really impressed me on the weekend was Taisha Ikanasio. So she is a former New Zealand Sevens player, and she came across to rugby league, in the last couple of seasons. And she was moved from the centres to the wing this week. Ron Griffiths, their coach, she thought she was coming into a meeting with him about to get dropped. And he actually said, look, I actually need you to positional switch. And in the modern game, playing on the wing is a specialist position. You've got to be good under the high balls. You've got to be able to finish tries. Teams are getting so much better defensively. So you've got millimetres to work with in the edges. She scored herself a hat trick being moved out to the wing. So love that from her, but just the versatility from players in that team to be able to move around, shuffle, play in the back row, play in the centres. It's really working for them, but I think you nailed it. They're getting the culture and connection piece right, and you can see that throughout the club.
I love that. We're going to talk more NRLW when Shelley Long comes on, so we'll continue that chat. But let's move over to round 23 of the NRL. And I just want to start off with this man right here, Leka Halasima. He is an absolute superstar. Just have a listen to this.
to stop so many threats from opposition. Here's Halasima breaking away. Back off another one. Halasima on the charge, putting his hands back. What a run.
Listen to the crowd. And he has been enormous. Like, honestly, like, how do you stop a man like that? In
Lekker
the defensive
the wrecker,
line.
Man. He's,
Lekker the wrecker. Watching, I want to steal that one.
That's what they call him. Like, watching him play, he just reminds me so much of those young guys coming through the ranks that just do not care about where they throw their body. They are No respect for their body. They are just ruthless and there's no fear around their game. And he was absolutely running amok. You know, bumping off one of the game's best, Nathan Cleary, like, he is so hard to stop. When you look at him coming up against some of the best players in the game, the way he's able to hold his balance in collision, and he set up a try, set up Chanel Harris-Tavita on a try. He made, this set that we just heard, he made a break out of yardage, right, and was just carving up the middle, and then runs back to his edge, gets the ball again in the set.
He's looking for work.
Bumps off Cleary, and then offloads the ball back into inside to Chanel Harris-Tavita. And, like, he's a back rower playing in the centres. He's a freak, man.
Mate, he is. And I just think when you, like, again, coming up against guys like him, and you think of, like, how am I going to defend this guy? How am I going to tackle or take line speed off? Because if
speed
I go
bump.
Up, if I, yeah, honestly, it's like I'm, the first guy is just got to just try and slow him down.
Yeah.
And then the rest just please come and get
him. You know, you've just
got
to get numbers in around him.
If you get line speed on him, like, he's probably got footwork.
Yeah, and then he'll isolate you.
Exactly.
One-on-one.
Get
straight
off.
Through.
And if you hold off on him, he's got good leg speed and then he's got good footwork and he'll palm you. And if you give
him
that space.
He's the full package.
So.
And 11 tackle busts, over 240 run meters. Like, that's work rate. That's work ethic there. I think he's so exciting. Exciting for Tonga at the end of the year.
Oh, I forgot about that for
the
World Cup.
Look stacked.
Yes, that's going to be – oh, I can't wait for that one to come. I feel like they're peaking at the right time, some of our players. And the good thing is that they'll play deep into finals footy.
Yeah.
Match fitness will still be there, so there's no opportunity for a bit of a break there. Potential blowouts
yes.
is what I'm alluding to. But anyway, for the Warriors, again, I loved straight away probably – the entertainment side of things, or even, sorry, like seeing the culture that was on display straight away from before kickoff, you know, with the haka, just seeing Fisher Harris leading that, just seeing the sold-out crowd, Stephen Adams, Lima Sopoanga, all these people getting behind the movement of the Waz, and it's infectious and it's leading to their performance, isn't it?
It really is. Oh, they're clearly driven by culture, and it's so much deeper than just high performance. And when you get those things right, we've heard it over the years from, you know, that listening to the All Blacks and the way they create that kind of culture and mentality, you can see it really shining here for the Warriors. But coming up against the informed Penrith Panthers, going into halftime 18-0, that's a finals footy team there. And this was a finals footy style game. 28-12 was the end score over the Penrith Panthers. Some big news to come out of injuries for the Panthers. They lost their skipper Isaiah Yeo to a pec injury. He's having surgery on that. He's like having another halfback on the field. That's going to heavily affect them in their run to the finals.
Well, you know, all about leadership, and when you lose influential people, there is a bit of a who are you looking to in the change rooms, you know, because you sort of like, when you've got those type of players and you look to your left or right and they're lacing up their boots and you go, oh, we're going to be all right today.
Yep.
But if they're not there, it's like, who's next?
Just even understanding how to manage the game.
Exactly.
And he and Cleary work so well at club level to be able to do that. And you're right. I know so many clubs say next man up mentality, but you can't replace
that
kind of leadership.
You'll try your best. It's not through a lack of effort or trying.
Absolutely.
But anyway, do you feel like, you know, getting so close to finals footy now is, are the Warriors the new favourites?
Oh, if I'm being biased, I like them. I really like what they're about. I think they're just ruthless in defence. I love how there's no spots on the field. There's no one that can't hold their own on the field. And then they play fearless. They love to pull the trigger in attack. And they'll go toe-to-toe with any team in this competition. And they've proved that. They've been on a good run.
Yeah, I think both sides of the ball, they have been clinical. But we'll move over now to the Dolphins. Can't believe they came back for, I think it was like 24-0. The Broncos took a lead and then the Dolphins end up coming back, winning 40 points to 32. And this man that scored this try played a big part in their comeback.
Back to the centre third. Carrigan gives to Duffy. Oh, his pass is dropped by Hunt. Picked up by the Hammer, who evades two. And the game can change like that. Watch the Flyer run 90 to score for the Finns and change momentum in battle eight. One drop ball. And watch out.
Hammer Time comes to the battle just when the men from the peninsula needed it.
Man, the Dolphins and the Broncos rivalry is starting to become something that's everyone will want to tune in for.
Yeah.
Like it's that Battle of Brisbane is huge, and the Hammer, mate, when that guy's in full flight.
He is
beautiful to watch.
Unbelievable. The ability for someone like that to create something out of nothing, but he just knows when to inject himself into the game at the right time. And he can do freaky things like that, just come up with points. But I think the consistency for the Dolphins has been really exciting to watch. And that ability to find points and not get too down in your poor performance from the first half, to be able to turn it around at halftime and come out with a completely new attitude is something that wins you finals footy games.
Yeah, and again, I'll always like to talk about my cousin here, Isaiah Carthor. Like back in the 7 jersey, you know, he broke his wrist there, I believe it was. So I think second game back. When you think of someone like him, how much has he matured in that role, in that leadership role, and be able to take his side into their first ever finals appearance?
Yeah, well, he's arguably the best half in the game, you know, alongside Nathan Cleary. I just think the maturity, you mentioned it, from Izzy is phenomenal, and we forget how young he is, but I think he's had some great coaches to allow him and surround him by the right amount of leadership to allow him to flourish in that sense. And his game management is next level. Hey, just to pull strings, know where his strike is, know how to just manage out the game is it's so exciting. And we know he's going to be a big part of this game for a very long time.
Yeah, when I talked to Tia Rona about his performances, he goes, man, he's like a union player playing rugby league because he's got really good timing around his depth and alignment.
His
like
tempo.
His tempo of the game. He can hold his feet and skip out when he needs to. So I feel like, a lot of front football comes off him. Just his pass selection, absolutely loving that he's killing it there. And for the Broncos, holy, would you have thought after winning the premiership last year that they'll be in this position?
Well, I think you can count on one hand the amount of times that a premiership team have fallen out of the eight the following season. And they haven't lost a lot of strike and star power across their board. It's really disappointing for the Broncos and for Madge as well. I think they were flying high last year and they've won some really tight games this year and against the better teams.
Yeah.
But just the lack of consistency to back off against the premiership is it's unfortunate for them.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that they're in this position. But anyway, that rounds out our NRL chats around the ground. But finally, before we finish up, global round, Peter Volandis is just on this mission to make sure that you're not only looking a week ahead or a year ahead. It's like this guy's got it sussed for, I don't know, 10 years ahead on what.
Big visions, doesn't
big visions.
He, for this game.
So he's talking about global round and launching that in 2028. Played round one across multiple countries. Firstly, you know, where would you like to play?
Oh,
if you had the choice, where would you like to play?
Sammy, I'm a seasoned traveler. I love getting on a plane and getting to any country around the world. I just, with my experience in playing and working on the Sevens series, just chasing summer in that sense, there's some real hot spots. I know some clubs have already got their eyes on Hong Kong, some Japan. I would love to see it over in Cape Town. I think that would be unreal. Cape Town Sevens is probably one of my favorite stops ever. So I think if you get a rugby league game over there, they love their footy. Rugby union, rugby league, doesn't matter what it
honestly,
is. I think you tap into a different
honestly,
market.
If they're going to Cape Town,
I'm there. I'm on that plane.
I'm there because even just the All Blacks are touring over there at the moment and they just played against the Stormers, who are the local team in Cape Town. Unfortunately, their old home ground is not usable anymore at Newlands. That was one of the best grounds I've ever played. It was like a castle.
Yeah.
Like rectangular, shoebox style, and like the noise that place generated
was
right on top
of you.
Stop it. And I think that's a great shout. You know, if you can get to over there in Cape Town, do that. But that's us for Rugby League. Let's shift over now to Rugby Union.
Hello, Falava. My name is Annalisa Seal, and you're listening to Nisian Footy.
Yes, you're listening to Nisian Footy. Our Cook Island Koi Tinera Arona is away, so we have the beautiful Tiana Penatani Gray joining us in the hot seat. We're going to talk rugby union, and we're going to start the Wallabies 35-32 over Japan in Japan in Osaka. People are like, going, mate, Japan should have lost by 50.
Yeah, you would think that the Wallabies would be a lot more dominant.
Like, their League One competition in Japan is, I reckon it's better than Super Rugby.
Right.
You've had Richie Mo'unga over there the last 5 years playing. You've had Bernard Foley. You've had like some of the best coaches over at all the teams. So they have fast-tracked their development for the last sort of 20 years to put them in a position where they can compete with the big teams.
Yeah.
They say if it was a three-game series, you'll probably see the blowout score within the three-game series. But when they just have to go after a one-off game, I reckon
they leave no stone unturned, absolutely.
Yeah. And they play a quick brand of football, like 1-2 second breakdown. And that's what troubled the Wallabies because, one, the heat, I was up at 35 degrees.
Yeah.
And Japan played so quick that they just could not get their defensive line set. And Japan, the way that they play, they don't really stick to like a necessary shape.
Mm.
So wherever, when that ball's there, they just move. So they just got bodies,
hit holes.
So play flat at the line.
Flat and fast.
Yeah, that's it. And so by the time you sort of get up and you look, they're already in front
of you.
So you don't get any dominant tackles. And that's what allows them to get quick breakdowns. So I thought they did a really good job, Japan. And, Eddie Jones was, you could tell he really wanted to get one over the Wallabies, but it wasn't meant to be. They get the job done under new coach Les Kiss. And probably the biggest talking point as well still is where Joseph Swali'i plays. Does he play in the backs in the back three, or does he play in the 13 jumper like he's doing now? T, you've been asked to play in multiple positions.
Mm.
You know, when you like to play in the centers and that's your position, but when someone asks you to then play somewhere else, what's your initial sort of reaction straight away to when someone taps you on the shoulder because you think this is my position?
Yeah, look, I think the context around where you're playing and what team you're in definitely matters. I think for me, I've loved the opportunity to play in different positions because it's helped me grow in the position I love to play in at centre.
Yep.
So playing at six has helped me see the game in a different way to understand what I need from my centres or how to be a better centre from the different lens you look in. And then same, you know, playing at fullback and even playing in the back row recently this year. It gave me an appreciation for that kind of work rate. But I think it definitely, it makes a difference what kind of team you're in and the way you play.
Because
if for someone like me at the moment, the team that I'm in, we're not valuing getting the ball out to strike at the moment because we're not earning that opportunity. So for me, I feel like a lot of my game is in the backfield at the moment, which then doesn't feel like I'm doing a lot in terms of strike and scoring points, which is what I like to do. And for someone like him, I think he's a great 13, but only if they play a style of footy that gets him early ball and lets him create. If you're a team that does homework on him, if you can take away time and space from a player like him, then he's probably not thriving in that position.
Yeah, it's such a good point. Like if I feel like in Union, you've got the license to roam. So even though he's got the 13 on his back, you can present different shapes, off launch, off scrum, off line out. He doesn't always have to start in the 13 position. So that's probably the thing that people are seeing, that if a 12 carries, you know, so Hunter Paisami, he was the 12 on the weekend. If he carries, well, then Swellett is doing a lot of the clean out work. If they want to play with width, you know, he's doing a lot of the stuff where he's got to run those, you know, dummy lines, those down lines, and they play behind him.
That's not using strike.
Yeah,
is it?
No,
it's not suiting his game.
He's a Ferrari.
Yes.
Mate, he's got to be out in space, finish in, but at the moment, it's like a Ferrari doing Uber pickups.
So where do you like him?
I would like him. Honestly, I think he's so good on the wing.
Yeah.
But like what you said, just because he's on the wing, it doesn't mean that he can't move in throughout the game.
Get involved.
Get involved early. So let him roam. He's instinctive. Whereas a 13, you really need to, it's a crafty position. So you're like that, you know, chess around, like you're thinking, always thinking of what's the next move. Whereas on the wing, yes, they need to think, but like, man, it's more instinct.
Yeah.
Where's the ball? Where's the space? Boom, give it to me. I'm there. So I feel like that's him. But anyway, they will play against Japan this weekend in Townsville. And then finally, the All Blacks, you know, they beat the Stormers on the weekend, and they're going to play their second game of their tour. And one name that everyone should be looking out for is Ma'anon, who's been announced on the bench for the Durban Sharks. 44 years of age, T. Are you playing to the age of 44?
Absolutely not.
No.
I don't think my arthritis and my knees would get me to 44 years. That would take me another 14 years, Sam. I haven't even been playing football for 14 years.
I'm thinking that guy's had four careers.
That is crazy, man.
It's 44.
Has he retired ever and come out of retirement?
No, he's gone the whole way. Changed clubs, gone the whole way.
What a legend. How do you do that in a contact sport?
I've got no idea. Honestly, I'm keen to reach out to him and ask, mate, what's the secret?
He would be so good at just what he puts in his body, the fuel, the saunas, the massages, the ice baths, all the 1%ers, I reckon.
Everything.
Or you he's just genetically blessed.
Yeah, that too. Samoan heritage, so he's probably got some really good genetics there. But, you know, I went on a tour when I was 15. and we stayed at Martin Arnold's house because his nephew was in the team that we were touring with from Australia. And that was back in 2002.
Wow.
And he was playing for the Hurricanes. That was his debut season at the Hurricanes, I believe it was. And to me now, I'm 38 and he's still going.
Yeah, your career's been and gone.
Been and gone. I don't think there ever was a career. But anyway, wish him all the best. I can't wait to watch that game. That'll be on Wednesday. We'll look forward to seeing how he goes. Well, that's it for Rugby Union. We'll get over to Shelley Long to talk more NRLW. And then, of course, we are going to get over to our pre-recorded interview with Shakira Baker-Fido. So stay tuned for that one.
The Long Story Short with Shelley Long.
Shelley Long, she is back for another ep on our Monday show. She's fresh off an exam, a university exam, which I would have no idea what that would entail. But how are you feeling after that? Are you all good?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling pumped to be on here. I miss footy. I'm not sure if you know, but I was suspended on the weekend. So finally,
What did you do?
I'm just a dangerous tackle. So haven't been able to play footy for a couple of weeks, so excited to talk about it at least.
I wouldn't say that's good news or great. I don't know what that is. But anyway, was it a shoulder charge? Was it a tip tackle? Did you get sent off for the whole game?
No, I didn't get sent off for the game. It was pulled up after the game by the match review committee. So ended up finding out a couple of days after the game that I was getting suspended. But in saying that, at least it meant that I got to watch this week's rounds of NRLW, which unfortunately on most weeks when I play, I miss. So that was a positive.
Well, fair enough. Well, we've brought in another expert to be able to hold the fort for us and have a genuine conversation on what's going on in the NRLW, because I don't think Tia Rona does his homework at all. So Tiana Benatani is going to take it away with you for NRLW. So
looking forward to breaking things down with you, Shell. We earlier in the show, we broke down the Warriors Knights game. That was probably one of the standout games for me for the round. The Warriors looking really dominant at the moment, and that's bumped the Knights out of top four contention as it stands after this week. What was one of the games that stood out for you?
For me, the game that stood out the most was actually the Canberra Raiders defeating the Brisbane Broncos. The Canberra Raiders won at home 28-4. And for me, when I watched that game, at the first half, it was a little bit of a closer game. And then towards the second end of the game, the Raiders just took control and they dominated 28-4 against the Brisbane Broncos. That is the first time that the Brisbane Broncos has lost by such a big points as well. So that was one that stood out to me.
Yeah, and it was, I think the Raiders win ended something crazy, like a 15-game win streak for the Broncos as well, reigning premiers from last year. They had some really key injuries that we'll have to keep an eye on in coming weeks as well. One of the big ones, Julia Robinson, went down with a nasty-looking knee injury too. I know that the big ACL was kind of thrown around, having a look at how inconspicuous that kind of was, spinning out of a tackle. And then Jada Ferguson, who's been a great nine for the Broncos, she went down with a nasty head knock as well. But the Canberra Raiders, they've been flying, hey, Shell, this season. They've had a couple of hiccups in their season over the last couple of weeks, but to be able to get back on the horse and get back in the winner's circle has been huge for them.
Yeah, definitely. They won their first two games. They ended up losing their four in a row back-to-back. And I think after the last week's game against the Cowboys, they took a lot of confidence out of that. The Cowboys came back within the last 12 minutes, I believe, of the game to win it. And then the Raiders have found the fire in their bellies to come out against a really strong Brisbane Broncos team and absolutely dominate. For me, Leanne Tofunga was outstanding for them on that right edge, as well as Mackenzie Wickie. I think their link up there is really good, and they really challenged the Brisbane Broncos and made them actually defend a bit tighter off the ruck because they were coming back into the inside of the field. So for me, the Raiders just played smart wet weather footy as well. The Brisbane Broncos weren't able to control the ball well with slippery weather conditions. So you got to give them a lot of credit for that win. It's tough to come up against a team like the Brisbane Broncos and do something so incredible like that.
Absolutely. Well, it also, I guess, makes you go a bit more quiet if you're one of those those people that says it's a two-horse race in this competition with the Roosters and the Broncos, you know, flying high above everyone else. And I know it's a really big topic of conversation throughout our NRLW season, in saying that the Roosters got another great dominant win over the Eels, 46-6 as the last game of the round over the weekend. But the teams that are kind of in the middle at the moment are who are really impressing me as well. The Titans are up there. They're a smoky. They're 5 wins in a row. We kind of broke that down against my Sharks on the weekend. And the Tigers, they clutched, you know, the last try in the 69th minute of their game against the Dragons. That was also another really good contest for Indigenous round. And the Tigers are just seeming to find a way to win at the moment as well.
They are, and they look good. But in saying that, T, when you look at the game against the West Tigers and the Dragons, the Tigers sit 5th on the ladder and the Dragons sit 10th. And in that game, you couldn't tell that that was the case. You thought that they would be pretty close together on the ladder. So seeing those types of competition arise in our game is really good. And I think it definitely shows the standard of the game. And I do think that that conversation around the two-horse at the front, I think it's going to be challenged this season, definitely.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And you mentioned it, the tight contest between game teams that are sitting in the middle and around the bottom. Bulldogs won over the Cowboys 28-26 as well to round out the round. Sammy, lots of NRL.
Oh, my goodness. How good was that? I had a coffee. I had had a cookie and just enjoyed listening to that chat back and forth. Shelley. That's a lot better than what we do, isn't it? The back and forth. I'm so sorry. It's back to us next week because I'll make sure T does his homework a bit more and we can get that type of chat. That was outstanding, ladies. Thank you for that.
Thanks,
we did have the Fijiana-South Africa game that was played in Rugby Union last weekend. So South Africa won 55 points to 12 against Fijiana. They play again this weekend in the Sugar City in Latoka, but we'll get some more updates on that game with Namani Nandolo Kurundrani on Friday. But Shelley, I'm going to let you go. Any more studies on the horizon, exams?
Yeah, it's exam week moment. So got a couple more coming up. But I'm back, hopefully back in the team. No more suspensions. So we'll then be able to play some footy.
So just the 1 week off, 1 week off, was it? 1 week suspension?
1 week. Couldn't
have been that bad then. But anyway, Shel, thank you for joining us. We'll chat with you again next week.
Thanks, Shel.
Thanks so much.
My name's Jack Lamb and I'm listening to News and Footy.
Sammy, today I'm going to love this chat because whenever a player switches from rugby union to rugby league
mate.
At
always
such a high level, I like to enjoy hearing their story. And today we have a former rugby union player, but now current NRLW player for the New Zealand Warriors. She is Samoan Māori and made her debut for the Warriors last year in 2025 and made her debut in the for the Black Ferns in 2011. But her name is Shakira Baker-Fido and she is here with us on Nijan Footy today. Thank you, Shakira, for joining us. Great to have you on the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
I'm going to get the toughest question out of the way first. Your name's Shakira. Your dad's name is Elvis. Am I seeing a theme here?
I think my family loved singers, but unfortunately I didn't inherit that talent, but my mum did.
Prove it. Yeah. Give us a few bucks. Nah, jokes. But and how often do people say your name twice? As in like Shakira.
Oh,
do you get that all the time?
Yeah, all through school and even today. So.
I was going to do that in the intro, but I was like, better not.
So you let me go there instead? Yeah, sweet.
What I did miss in introducing is or mentioning that you also have won an Olympic silver medal and a Commonwealth gold. Just this minor flex there, gold medal. But we'll get to that journey shortly. But what was your upbringing like? You know, where did you grow up?
Yeah, I grew up in a small town called Greytown, small community. You could put it as like a sort of country town a little bit. But yeah, surrounded by my family. My marae was just down the road, so was immersed in culture and things like that. So it was sort of built my foundations and the values that I carry today. And it was cool. Everyone knew each other and my parents still live there today. So it's always nice to go home.
Whereabouts in New Zealand is Greytown?
So it's about an hour and a half northeast of Wellington. Yeah, so it's a rural town.
Nice. And your Samoan side, which one of your parents are Samoan?
My dad's full Samoan, villages, Taninga Manono and Safotulafai.
Man, I got no doubt your house would be exposed to a lot of tradition and custom and culture. How was it having the best of both worlds of Māori culture and Samoan culture in your life?
Yeah, I think it was cool being just up the road from my marae. You know, we would get dragged along to porphyries and sitting on the pai pai supporting the family and things like that, but also lived in Auckland in my earlier years, surrounded by my family in Auckland as well and my Samoan side and that side of things. But yeah, I think coming from two strong cultures has been a privilege, and grateful to come through from two different cultures and experience that, and being brought up on both sides, yeah.
Were you brought up in with a big family, and you know, do you come from a sporty family?
Yeah, I do come from a sporting family. Predominantly, the boys mostly played rugby. My uncle was Māori, All Black, and my brother secondary schools, New Zealand, and my mum and all of them. That side played sort of representative things, and so yeah, sport was big in our family growing up.
What were the I guess with a big family, probably rural as well. I guess what were the competitions like amongst the family members, cousins and stuff like that, playing and yeah. Coming home with some bruises and tears and stuff like that. What was that like?
Were there some
It was cool. So we were surrounded, like I said. Our families were like living close together. We were sort of next door neighbors a little bit, and we had like paddocks and things like that. So, you know, we were always outside, always sent outside to go and chuck a football around or go grab a hockey stick and play outside and things like that. So, yeah, and then even our next door neighbors, it was a small little community. They would get out there, we would run around, and yeah, there were a couple of sheep at the back. We'd try ride the sheep and things like that. So, like, you know, it was all fun and games and upbringing outside with lots of space and things like that. So
I was going to say we both come from competitive families, and you know, there were some arguments over the Monopoly board,
cards as well,
cards
didn't matter,
PlayStation didn't matter, whatever it was, you just had to win. So completely understand. Look, you are a rugby league convert, but before rugby league, rugby union was your sport. Where did your journey in both codes or in rugby start for you?
Yeah, I think I picked up union a little bit later. I started my sporting sort of journey in hockey or through school and high school, and then it wasn't until the back end of high school that I picked up union. And I think it was I just got roped into like a little tens tournament, and then from there just grew a passion for it. I always watched my brother play through college and things like that, and then my granddad was a big inspiration of mine, who pushed me sort of in that sort of code to keep going further. And then yeah, I joined a women's club team, Ikarahuna Rugby Club, middle of nowhere, farmlands, and a bunch of women who were pretty keen to get amongst it, which was cool to be amongst it and learn off them. Yeah, and then I made the Wellington MPC women's team, I think at like 16, and then from there made my way through the ranks.
You mentioned hockey. Where did that even come from, and what is the
pathway? When you said hockey stick, I thought it must have been just something lying around, used it as a weapon here and there. That's it.
Where did they play hockey in, was it Greytown?
Greytown.
Greytown. Yeah. Was like hockey and horse sports.
Yeah, no. So the boys usually play, in our family, the boys usually played the rugby, and then the girls usually played hockey. So, yeah, my mum and my auntie, she was made New Zealand reps for hockey and things. So that was the pathway that sort of they tried to push me in. And then, yeah, I played it all through school, My mum played, my aunties played and things like that, but it wasn't until I picked up the rugby ball that sort of the representative levels sort of started opening up and things like that.
Wow, that's so cool, eh? You mentioned your grandfather, your granddad, and inspiring you to, you know, pursue rugby union. How did he do that?
I think he was the one who sort of instilled hard work and hard work ethic. Every time I saw him, he was outside working, and you know, I think he would just provided a lot for us. And when I played rugby, it brought a smile to his face, and I think the love that he gave to us, I just wanted to share that and make him proud as well. So I knew that every time I stepped on that rugby field, he was at every game. He was, you know, giving me pointers, whatever I did. He was happy seeing me out on that rugby field. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. When we've talked to a lot of our female rugby league or rugby union players, especially in the Pacific, you know, contact sport, such a new sport, sometimes a bit taboo to play. You mentioned your grandfather was really supportive of you playing rugby. But what was it like, you know, around, I guess, on your Samoan side or other people saying that you should be playing hockey instead of a contact sport?
Yeah, I think that was the sort of stereotype we had to sort of try and break a little bit. And, yeah, my dad wasn't the biggest fan, but, you know, he was like, I was on the bigger side growing up through school, and, you know, I think his one advice was, don't let them put you in the forwards for union.
Anyone you played in the front row.
Like, no, there's no way you're going prop, right? Like, I put you this, you're not playing. So I think, yeah.
You made me reflect on my family, and so I grew up in Dunedin, so rugby union was the way of life. And so my mum and her sisters all played rugby union. Yeah, not one of them were in the outside backs or in the halves. They were all props. So, yeah. Even my auntie played Black Ferns years and years ago. She was a number 8, and I just remember them being like, that was just who they were. And I was like, now you brought up a good point. Why were you never in the backs?
One thing I want to bring up, and I really love that you touched on it, because I think it's a stereotype in Pacific Island Māori cultures around, you mentioned, being a bigger body. And then playing sevens is one of the hardest sports physically, the fitness levels that you need to get to. And I think it's a really good message around understanding that it doesn't matter what your body shape is, you put in the work. You know, you can get to places. How did you deal with that? Because my wife, you know, same thing, has those conversations where, like, body image, and even for our daughter, like, that's huge. You know, how you talk, how you understand how to use certain words, you know, for males wouldn't even, like, comprehend. But you go, oh, man, I didn't realize that would have affected her. But for yourself, you know, what's worked in your eyes, and how did you deal with, those thoughts and feelings towards playing?
Yeah, I think I've always been on the bigger side growing up through school, and, you know, you'd have, like, comments from the sidelines and things like that. And I guess it's just knowing who you are as a person and understanding that we're all different shapes and sizes. And I think it's even more prominent today around stereotypes and body image and things like that. But having, I think it's more talked about, and, like, especially as athletes, as women, you know, we go about our day, we're trying to get stronger, we're trying to get bigger, but then, you know, having advocates like Iona Ma, who's like, you know, she's like a bigger athlete, but she's loving her body, you know, and it doesn't really matter what other people say about you, it's how you feel about yourself. And yeah, there were some times that, you know, that it was a mental battle, and you're like, oh, what size or shorts are you wearing, or, like, things like that. But it's, you know, it's what you're producing out on the field. And, but yeah, I'm not going to lie, there are times where, you know, you look at your body and you think, oh, you know, negative thoughts, but how do you switch it back to, this is my moneymaker, you know, this is, I get to go out on that field and I get to perform, I get to play, you know, people dream to be here and things like that. So, everyone's going to have their own opinion of you, but it's what you think.
No, I appreciate you sharing that. Honestly, like, it's one thing, yeah, my daughter's going through it, wife, you know, and they have these questions, but, you know, having people like yourself advocating, it does go a long way, and I appreciate you sharing that.
Two more things just before we move to the league. First thing I want to ask was, in regards to the Seventh Circuit and everything that comes with it, with the travel, being away from family, being a part of a team environment, and then making sure you're at the best elite, physique, so that you can play the game at the highest level. What do you think is the biggest challenge for yourself when you were, part of that circuit?
Yeah, it's mentally tough. I think being in an environment where it's a dream job. Like, you get to travel the world, you get to get paid to play rugby, you get paid to, you get free stuff, it is free a dream. But it's also mentally tough in, when you're training your hardest and potentially you're missing out on tournaments, or, you're getting, you're not getting selected for things, and, you turn up every day giving your all, and sometimes it's not enough, but then you're also forgetting that you're in the top 23 of your country. And so it's sort of like that mental battle was probably one of the toughest things that I had to deal with.
Yeah.
I've had 5 knee surgeries and a heart condition, and I keep doing it because I love it, and I think that's what it comes back to, is like, I love playing sport and I want to do it for as long as I can. So
okay, well, here we go.
Lastly, just Union, your highlight, your favorite moment when you played junior?
Probably was my debut for Black Ferns. Was in England and at Twickenham Stadium.
And how old? You would have been young, eh? How old were you?
19.
Debuted at 19 years old, representing the nation at Twickenham on the other side of the world.
How good.
From a girl from Greytown. Damn.
Playing hockey. All right, let's talk about one of the lowlights. You crossing over to rugby league.
I'm joking. Why?
That's it. Why would you do it? You're giving up Twickenham. You're giving up Olympics, Comm Games, traveling the world. Come on, man. Why did you have to do this? No, I'm joking. What was it? No, on a serious note, what was the decision around crossing over to rugby league?
Yeah, I think it was a fresh start, something new, something exciting. It was 10, 11 years in Union and representative. So I was looking for something new, something fresh, and rugby league seemed to knock at the door.
What was, did it meet your expectations?
100%. Yeah, I'm loving it. I'm loving the game, learning new environments, new people. Something that
would you have done it? Would you have done it earlier? Knowing what you know now, would you have jumped earlier?
Yeah, if it was there, if I knew about it earlier, yeah. Like Wellington rugby league was. I didn't really hear much about rugby league. So further down the country you go, it sort of like dwindles a little bit. So yeah, I think if I had found it earlier, it would be a different story.
What have you found the most challenging part of being able to adapt to rugby league coming from a Union background?
I think it's like the contact area. I found it difficult to sort of, the tackle around the wrestle part of the game and buying time for your players to get onside. And, in Union, it's sort of get up off the ground, what's your next move and things like that. It's like time on the ground is precious. So you're getting up, getting back into the line, whereas it's the total opposite with league. You're trying to buy time, you're trying to wrestle, you're trying to stop them from gaining momentum and things like that. So I think I found that the most difficult part of the game. They're like, why are you getting off so early? I'm like, get back on. And then they're like, oh, flop. And I was like, oh my gosh.
You got a great great coach in Ron, and I love that he's a people person as well and connects with the playing group. The last thing on rugby league before we start to wrap it up, what have you loved about the culture of rugby league, and coming from a rugby union environment, what's the culture difference like? And
Tony asks this because he thinks rugby union people live in like this ivory tower and just sort of like wear Aaron Williams and blazers and chinos and stuff like that.
Just tell us how good it is.
Our puffer jackets.
Yeah, I've definitely seen a different side to the fan base of rugby league fans, and how
passionate
into it they are. I wouldn't say like
die hard,
like ruthless,
hearty,
ruthless. One minute they're your best friend, the next minute they're your enemy. And like, I love how passionate they are about the game. And you know, then I've also loved like how the rugby league teams I've been involved in so far embrace culture as well, like especially the Warriors Club embracing New Zealand culture and, you know, have it intertwined throughout the club and things like that. And so, it's a different community, but like I'm loving like how connected the rugby league community is, and especially with their fan base as well and the supporters that they have. Yeah.
It's funny you say that about the fans. I went to Highlanders were playing the Waratahs in the semi-final here in Sydney. So me and my family all went to support my cousin. And so Highlanders, every time they scored, we were screaming, yeah, and doing chants. And then every time Waratahs scored, they'd just stand up and like...
I'll never forget when I went to a Waratahs game for the first time and someone in the crowd goes, this game is a little bit pedestrian. And I was like, what the hell does that mean? And someone goes, it just means it's slow. I was like, why don't I just say that? But anyway, rugby union, rugby league fans, chalk and cheese. But Shakira, honestly, man, I wish we should have talked more rugby league chat, I think, at the start. But really appreciate your time, and I wish you all the best with the rest of the season and what's next for you. But I appreciate you leading the way and sharing some time with us.
Easy. Thanks for having me. And, thanks for the chat.
Give me three answers for this one.
Yes, this is time to play our game of categories, which we call Give Me Three. And T is on debut with Nijan Footy, Tiana, that is. Yes. And now she's on debut for Gimme Three. Are you ready for these questions? Because I only just came up with them.
I feel like I'm about to get stitched up.
No, you're not. But it's going to test your knowledge around your family.
Okay.
Just a little bit there. T Arona, I should always say, he would hate this question because he would say it's a bit different for the rules, because I'll choose a category and then I'll ask three questions off that category. So your category is your sister, Tash.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, so she's played for the Titans.
Correct.
She's played for Tonga.
Correct.
She's played for the Tigers.
Correct.
Three T's in that. How good. Yes. Didn't even realise that. But I just need to know, how many games has she played for each of these teams? And I'll give you the nearest two.
Okay.
With what's a good sort of number nearest to... What would you like? Because this is your debut. I'll give you the benefit of doubt here. Closest, is it two either side of the number? Is that fair enough?
Yeah, let's go to either side.
To either side?
I reckon.
Or one either side. Two either side.
Two.
Two?
Be nice. I'm on debut.
You're always nice to me on that Pacific Sports Show all the time. You've you've been very patient, so I'll give you that to either side of it.
Just
okay.
Give me the answer, actually.
No, because you're representing T, so T Arona, so I don't want you to give him points.
Right.
But I will make it fair, though. Let's start with the Titans. How many?
How many games has Tash played for the Titans?
I hope the facts are right on AI. Let's see.
Right. Here we go.
How many seasons? Two seasons there. This is her second season?
Yeah.
Jeez, I hope this is right. Seems like a lot for two seasons.
I'm going to say 16.
16. On their website, she said she's played 26. Is that right?
That's 26 NRLW games.
We're off to a flying start.
Wow. Is that 1 point to me because you got the wrong stats?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That's what happens when you leave your preparation to about 7 minutes ago.
Well, I need to fact check that, but if you take two seasons into consideration, there's 22 total round games.
I know. I was like going, that can't
plus
be right.
Plus finals.
That can't be right, but I saw 26. Yeah, no, they did anyway. So you get a point for that one for
mine. Perfect.
There we go. Well, let's go. Let's hope AI's right on this one. Tonga.
Not the chat.
I know. That's what it was. That's what it was.
How many games has Tash played for Tonga?
Tonga.
Five.
On the money.
Yeah.
On the money.
That's
yes.
What's up. I hope you're listening, Tash. Yes. You know I love you.
Five. That's an important one. Okay. So two from two. Well, if it was 26 total for the Titans, I mean, for NRL, then you're really good at math. So how many she played for the Tigers then?
10?
Oh, close, but you get it anyway because it's 2-9. She played 9 for the Tigers.
Okay.
So that's a victory. That's 3 from 3, Tiana Penatani Gray. There you go. Where's the sound effects?
Thank you very much.
Give us something. Where are the balloons?
Where's the applause?
Something. Anyway, keep it going. But anyway, that's our time up for today, Tiana. Thank you so much for joining
Thanks
me today.
Thanks for having me.
Hope you had a bit of fun.
I did. I enjoyed this. T, I'm coming for your job.
Yeah, please do. Yes, please come on more often. But that's us, Phoenician Footy. We'll catch you again on Friday, Phoenician Footy Fridays. But make sure you search us wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website, Darkey Footy. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.